A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hiya, before we get into this podcast, please consider joining us on Red Men Plus. We have tons of amazing content coming out every single day in both podcast and video form. So get over there and sign up today. Now back to your podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. I'm Chris Pajak. This is Josh Williams. Josh is an expert in analysis, whether that be stats or whether that be tactics. And we're going to be looking at Cody Gapko today. We're going to look at some of his statistics and what that means versus his peers, and what we look at when we see those numbers, when we see his numbers. And we're also going to take a look at what he could do for Liverpool's side. So we're going to look at some tactical variations that Cody Gapko gives us. And we're going to look at some systems and stuff. And we're going to discuss today how we think Cody could change Liverpool's side. So we're going to get into it then, Josh. We've both separately looked at Cody Gapko. What are the things that draw your eye when you look at his stats first and foremost?
Yeah, well, there's lots of different areas, I think, that'll jump out to me. I think one of the main ones is, and it fits with a bit of a recurring theme lately when it comes to our transfer business, specifically in attacking players, is he seems to be making what I like to call the leap, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of, like, he's quite clearly stepping up, like, right now in the process of moving on to a new level, I think. Like, for example, last season in the Dutch Eredivisie, he posted 12 goals and 12 assists in about 27 appearances, I think it was. This season, he's already on 9 goals and 12 assists. So he's already equaled his assist total of last season, and he's obviously going to go past his goals total. And if you look back at when Liverpool signed Luis Diaz about a year ago, Diaz was doing the same. I think the previous year he scored about 6 times in the Portuguese top flight. The season that Liverpool signed him, mid-season, he'd already got 14 to his name, I think. And the same goes for Nunes in the summer. He scored about 6 in his debut season at Benfica. Following season, I think he scored about 26. So Liverpool seemed really keen to pick up on these players who were, like, in the process of going from, I suppose, potential to proven quality and an elite level.
Is that where you think Liverpool are trying to gain their edge in the market, rather than, like, Klopp picking up a player from Japan, second division, and bringing him over to Dortmund and watching him, you know, achieve there? Do you think now we're like, well, look, we can't really take the risk on potential right now. We need them to be maybe a step ahead of potential, and that is making the leap.
Yeah, well, this is the thing with a lot of people suggest, like, why aren't Liverpool getting Nunes before Benfica get him? Why aren't Liverpool getting Bellingham before Dortmund and things like that? And I understand those concerns, but at the same time, if you think of where Liverpool are in the football and food chain, if you like, they're at the pinnacle. So Liverpool are kind of in a luxurious position where they can let these prospects develop elsewhere. And once they get to a point where they're really, really good, right, comes to Anfield then, and then we just poach them. That's what Real Madrid used to do to us. Barcelona used to do it to us. And now we're in a position to do it to other teams. So I've got no real issue with letting players develop elsewhere, getting to a point where they've ironed out all the cracks, and then Liverpool pay a bit more to bring them to Anfield. And if you look at what Gakpo did even during the World Cup, it was a bit of a coming of age for me. I think he scored certainly the winning goal in the first game, and he scored in all 3 group games. So that's certainly something that stood out to me, how much of a leap he seems to have made this season compared to last season. And there's a few other departments as well. I think his crossing is an obvious element to touch on. He's currently third in the Eredivisie for crosses, which is quite curious considering he's an inside forward, really. He's playing on the left, cutting in with his right, but he's third in the league for crosses. I think that's quite interesting. It's something that you don't usually see that.
Yeah, the thing is, when I looked at him play and I looked at all of his assists and all of his goals and you know, watched a couple of games, I find that, you know, and we'll cover this later when we look at the tactical side of things, his starting position is really good, but he quite often takes the ball off players, like the left fullback, and whips a ball in, like almost the element of surprise. Yeah. Like, and he crosses the ball as an in-swinger quite often into the striker, which I think Liverpool have been sort of crying out for somebody maybe to do something like that at times this season, where you just want them to be brave and put the ball into a good area. But it's his positioning and his position relative to the other players on the pitch, which I think opens up those sort of crossing angles for himself. And it's not something that Luis Diaz does. It's certainly different to him, you know. But it's that ability to go round the outside or inside, I think, with Gakpo is quite interesting. I mean, he's currently crossing. When we compared him to Sadio Mane, Jota and Luis Diaz, he is nearly five times, he's getting more crosses into the penalty area per 90 than those other lads, which is a huge thing, isn't it? And yeah, I think the other thing, sorry, not to stop you there, but, and this won't show up in the stats, he's a captain. And Liverpool have had a trait of signing captains from football clubs in the past. Like, you know, there was a spell where, you know, there was probably six or seven captains at the football club, and the fact that he was captain in the side at such a young age shows that he's more than just a player and a bit part player. They've entrusted him with almost leading the side before Liverpool poached him.
Yeah, it's definitely an additional element that you can add to a scouting process, picking up on these players who were supposedly like leaders. And I think he was certainly acting as a bit of a talisman for PSV. I think he took set pieces as well, which kind of captures his, you know, it's the technique on his deliveries and those crosses that you've just touched on, the way he does it. I think it'll be easier to do on the tactics board, which we're going to do. But he does have a tendency to kind of cut inside to the edge of the box, the corner of the box, and kind of, it's almost like he's used a golf club to kind of really delicately chip the ball towards like the back stick.
Yeah.
And it's a really useful attacking weapon that Liverpool don't really have. And it'll add a bit of an element of surprise, I suppose, to Liverpool's game. Another element of his game that I wanted to touch on, which could play into the idea of him being this talisman for PSV, is pass completion is really, really low.
Yeah.
Now, it's obviously the most vanilla stat in the world, pass completion, you know, passing accuracy. It doesn't tend to mean much ever when you look at it. But it is interesting in this case because he completes 65.7% of his passes.
Yeah.
So what that basically means is, when you look at it, when he's on the ball and he's making a pass, he's about 34% likely to find an opposition player with his passes, which is quite weird. And he's in the bottom 7% of the whole of Europe for forwards and attacking midfielders for that, which is a curious quirk, I think.
Yeah, I wonder whether is there something that this is the lad that he's got to play the final ball. I mean, he's also the top assistant at the football club. He gets a lot of goals. Is this the guy, we've got to give it to him and he's got to make the killer pass? And is that why his passing percentage is much lower than maybe a Virgil van Dijk, who souls through games at 90 to 94% almost week in, week out? You know, is that something that could lead to that type of statistic, do you think?
Yeah, it's possible. But I think even if you compare him to players who are in his position and players who have a similar role in their team, it's still a really low pass completion. For example, Luis Diaz. You know, when Luis Diaz was at Porto in his final season, you could argue he was the playmaker, the primary weapon, and he was playing on the same flank as Gakpo.
Yeah.
Diaz posted a pass completion of about 80%.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Gakpo down at just under 66%. So that's a real jump. And it suggests he gives the ball away a lot, which stems from the fact he's trying things, which is fine, taking risks and things like that. But I think it's interesting considering Nunes loses the ball a lot, Jota loses the ball a lot, Salah loses the ball a lot, and Trent loses the ball a lot. And I think one player in the attack who probably doesn't is Roberto Firmino. Mm. And he has a contract which is due to expire in the summer. So Liverpool, I don't know if they're even aware that they're doing this, but they seem to be stockpiling players who are going to
give the ball away a lot.
Yeah, I mean, if you're creating stuff, that's fine, but there's got to be an element of control there.
And that's where coaching comes in, isn't it? I suppose.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where you'd hope that, you know, Klopp and the backroom staff are able to make him better as a footballer. One of the ones, obviously, I think that we'll go on to talk about XG a lot actually in our next show over on RedmenPlus.com. I'm sure we'll talk about it because it's the poster boy of stats, isn't it? You know, the expected goals. How did you feel he showed up in expected goals?
Well, he showed up good to me. And when you're watching him, I think it's quite clear he's got a good ball striking ability. I think his technique when he's shooting is quite clean. He scored a few goals this season from outside the box as a result of that. But when I checked, based on the data since, I think it was 2018, from 2018-19 onwards, in the Dutch Eredivisie and in Europe, he's overperformed XG by 11.2 goals, which we will touch on more in our next episode with Darwin Nunes. But that kind of suggests that in comparison to the average, he's just very good at converting shots into goals, and he's quite clinical and maybe better at scoring from tricky angles and things like that. Obviously, it's a small sample. Well, I suppose it's not in a way. You know, it's a couple of seasons we have a day to that, so I have to check how many shots he's taken, but that suggests he's good at putting the ball in the net, basically, which is something that Liverpool have suffered from a bit this season.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I looked at it compared to Mane, Jota and Diaz. He's getting more goals per 90 than both of them. He has more shots per 90 than all three of them. He's having more shots on target per 90 than all three of Mane, Jota and Luis Diaz. So, I mean, this is a guy who clearly is playing in a weaker league. So I think there needs to be some leeway given to that. You know, some websites, I know StatsBomb, certainly have a formula for each league to convert them into, well, if this player is doing this in the Dutch league, you have to times it by 0.89 or whatever it is, and then you're going to get the figures for what we should see in the Premier League. So there is an element to this is going to change slightly when it comes to the Premier League. But as a side-by-side comparison, he is doing very well compared to these players. Now, is there any more things there? Because obviously the crosses into the penalty area was interesting. I thought his corners, by the way, the fact that he takes corners, you know, big in-swinging corners for the most part as well, I think is an interesting thing, because I feel, and I don't know whether you agree with this, that Kostas is our best corner taker and he's not on the pitch all the time.
Yeah.
And after that, you can get a little bit of inconsistency.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I think it's interesting that despite being, I think he's about 6 foot two, foot four,
You've named the two things. There is 6 foot, he's 186 centimetres or 189 centimetres. And no, it's like, you know what Paul said to me the other day? He goes, it's like transfer market don't update it after they're 17 years old. Like, don't check back to see if you've grown any bigger.
Yeah.
It's 6'2" or 6'4", nice like that.
The best way I've found of judging that is just looking at how tall they are in comparison to Klopp. So when I look at Klopp, when you meet Klopp and do the whole handshake thing, is he taller or is he shorter than Klopp? And I think he's taller, so okay, that bodes well for
like
him,
that.
I suppose.
I like that.
But if you look at his game, as I said, he's really tall. And most people would look at that without really going into detail and think, okay, aerial threat. But he's not really. He does win a lot of aerial duels, but I think that's because he's up against fullbacks for the most part in that sense. But when it comes to scoring goals with his head, mm-hmm. not very many at all, which is perhaps why he takes a lot of corners, a lot of set pieces. But I think that's another little interesting quirk to touch on, considering he's really tall, but he's not really an aerial presence like even Jota, who's like 5'10". And Darwin Núñez, I think he'll be a bit different to that.
One other thing I think I wanted to talk about is obviously he ranks really well in assists, doesn't he, at the moment? He's the top 1% in Europe this season in terms of assists from the left wing position for PSV. He's a top 1% in expected assists as well. Top 2% in expected assists, and he's top 2% in key passes as well from left wingers this season in Europe's top five league. So I think when you consider those types of things, are we maybe, because I think you've got to consider the state of Liverpool Football Club at the moment, Josh, and the fact that right now our midfield isn't creative. Now, most people would say get a creative midfielder. That might solve your fucking issue there, which is absolutely fine. It's a completely valid way of doing it.
Yeah.
But have Liverpool gone, actually, we're not very creative from the forward three positions either. You know, can we get more creativity there?
Well, I think he'll help in the midfield, though, specifically in the sense of, like, if you think of Liverpool's forwards at the minute, they're all, like weirdly inclined to run away from the ball, apart from Firmino. Like, Salah loves a threat in behind. Núñez is the same. Diaz may be a little bit different, but I think he's still a threat in behind. And Jota's that man who likes the penalty box. I think Gakpo is a bit more come to feet, and I think he likes the ball to his feet. I think he likes to come a little bit deeper and receive the ball before kind of carrying it towards the opposition back line. So I think he'll give us a bit of differentiation in that sense. Maybe allow us to progress the ball a little bit differently than we have done before. But overall, as a creative spark and as a player who's going to be a danger for opponents to cater for, mm-hmm. I think he's going to offer a lot more than what... I mean, I don't want to keep criticising him, but Oxlade-Chamberlain is he's a bit blunt as a player when it comes to him being an attack. He's a bit more of a... That's why he got moved back to become a central midfielder on the clock, because it made a bit of sense, basically. Whereas if you look at someone like Gakpo, Diaz, Núñez, Jota, they're all just obsessed with actual returns and things like that. So I think getting a player in who's got that naturally attached to his game, it's only a positive, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and the final one I wanted to look at, I don't know whether there's more for you, is he's in the top 1% again compared to left-wingers in the top five European leagues in goal-creating actions. So he's creating more than one goal-creating action every single game, 1.05, which is bloody incredible, to be honest with you, when Mane's at 0.63 and Jota's at 0.65 and Diaz is at 0.57. For him to actually be exceeding one goal-creating action per game is pretty impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see if that suffers a decline or a boost at Liverpool, because you're surrounding them with better players, arguably a more dominant team, but then at the same time it's a stronger league and he's got more competition for places, so will he get on the pitch just as much and things like that? So it's always interesting to look at that sort of thing and think, will this player output, will it boost or will it decline? Mm-hmm. With Núñez, it's basically doubled in terms of his shots at least and things like that. With Gakpo, hopefully it does the same.
Yeah, we'll look at Núñez, as mentioned, in a second show over on redmenplus.com. But before we do that, let's talk a little bit about the formations and stuff. Okay, so we're off to do part two of our Cody Gakpo special. It is available in video form and it is so visual that there's literally no fucking point in yous listening to it. So if you want it and it's brilliant, trust me, you need to get over to redmenplus.com and check out the video. Ta-ra.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with five different spray patterns. so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.